Hey, comedian Adam Newman here, letting you know about Pussy Boys, a brand new podcast I co-host with my funny friends where real men talk about their love of cats. So tune into Pussy Boys on the Seltzer Kings Network and like, listen, subscribe, write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. That's Pussy Boys, all Z's. Trust me, you don't want to go where the S's take you. It's gross.
Let's go ahead and start this show. Welcome to The Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my right, Mr. Danny Tamborelli.
Hello, everybody.
And to his right, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
This is he.
And oh my gosh, our special guest for the entire episode. She played the mother of these two darlings, the two darling Petes. Ladies and gentlemen, Judy Graf's on the podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, Judy.
So
hey,
glad Judy. To have you.
Hey. Hi, kids.
Be careful. There's someone coming out of your cool Japanese hiding spot back there. Be careful.
Don't.
Yeah. Oh, you had me scared for a minute.
Someone's emerging from the screen is what you say.
That's how modern horror films begin. Yeah. With your own webcast and, you know, things start to go crazy.
You're talking to your children.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, guy comes out with a knife, and that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the movie. It's not even the end.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Judy is the kind of character that you would kill off in the first 5 minutes.
Absolutely not. No.
You got staying power. 11 days deep of Danny's character staying awake in the night crawlers.
Oh, of course. Now that you mention it, you're right.
So I do want to mention you guys are fresh off of a reunion show it was a benefit for the PA Dems. If you, this will be up before the vote. So if you haven't registered to vote, please do that. Please go register. And if you have,
If you haven't registered,
you screwed up. Don't mail anything in. Bring it to a ballot box if you're scared.
Right. But a great show all around. Very fun to see faces that I've seen for many years making this podcast and talked about a lot of stories about you and the whole crew. So thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. How do you guys, what do you want to get into this?
Obviously. Well, I haven't seen Judy since Portland. Was that the last time we saw each other?
Wait a minute. No, because you were going to play Sacramento. So did you go from Portland to Sacramento? Because my home, family home is in Sacramento and I was going to try and see you. So.
No, I don't. I don't think we ever made it to Sacramento. That's one of those. Sometimes those, the capital of states, just they never work out.
Did you miss the Albany show too?
And the Trenton show? Did you miss the Trenton show?
No, I wasn't there. I was Portland, L.A., and New York.
What about the Bismarck show? You didn't go to the Bismarck show?
No, Bismarck.
I kid. We're not big in North Dakota just yet. But we will be.
About a what?
The Paris show. Did you go to Paris, France? And
No, we went to Paris, Texas.
It's funny. They didn't let us go. They didn't, for the Pete and Pete reunion in France, they just let Mom and Dad go. It was just Hardy and Judy.
Oh,
it was kind of weird. And then they were, you know, they made a tape and then somebody stole their camera. Wait, no, that's a different movie altogether. I'm thinking of National Lampoon's.
Not sure what kind of tape you're talking about that got stolen.
A VHS tape. Actually, it was a Super 8. It was a Super 8 tape.
Oh my, Super 8.
a PAL tape.
It was Pete.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah, PAL. Was Pete and Pete like a huge European success? Do you guys know? Is that a thing? Do you get
Judy, when you travel in Europe, do you get mobbed? I think is what Jeremy wants to know.
Time. I mean, you know, I can't walk down the Champs-Élysées without, you know, people running amok and saying, "Ah, there she is! There she is!"
I had to shelter inside the Arc de Triomphe.
And they wouldn't let her in the Eiffel Tower because they really thought that she had a metal plate in her head and they were afraid she'd stick to it.
Right. That's exactly it.
The powerful electromagnets in the Eiffel Tower preventing you from getting all the way up to the top.
Well, they thought I was a terrorist because they could, you know, metal in the head.
That was one of my favorite parts of Superman 1?
3.
3?
I don't know.
No.
You sounded very confident. You know,
that was one. I'm smelling like all of this talk. I'm smelling like some Pete and Pete spinoff. We could do a fan fiction episode of Pete and Pete in Paris, and maybe the kids are lost. A little home, you know, a little Home Alone type feel.
Yeah, just
putting it out there.
Well, I still like the idea too of Pete and Pete and the grandparents, and the kids come in
and the little guys.
Yes,
and what?
And the little guys.
Yes.
Huh. What would they do? Because they have different names. Or would we have to make different names?
No, I think we both name our children the same name.
Yeah.
You think? Or
have
they could
be
Arnold and Arnold.
I think it would be either Da. If it's two girls, they'd both be Joyce. And if it was two boys, they would both be Don.
Oh, okay. All right.
I would love,
or maybe Artie. That would actually maybe I got a kid named Artie. Don and Don, the adventures of Don and Don and Artie. We had an unexpected second child.
It
Mike
might
only
happen.
Had the one.
Oh, right, right.
Little Pete had two on accident.
I think it was intentional.
It's always an accident. That's what I hear.
Yeah, since we missed Snow Day, I understand we were supposed to be in Snow Day.
Oh, it still hurts.
Yeah,
still hurts for the listener.
Literally 5 minutes into the podcast and Judy Graf's already bringing up old shit.
We're casting aspersions. I don't think we're not. We just didn't get into that movie.
Yeah. Damn. Well,
we should have had a real talking to the president of Nickelodeon at the time.
We should have, yes.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there is a Pete and Pete I mean, I'm sure Chris and Will might not.
Hello, President Nickelodeon.
Like, who is there?
Is your refrigerator running
of the Snow Day with Pete and Pete in it? You think around somewhere?
No, well, that would have been a good question for you to put into the comments on Sunday.
That's a good fundraising.
I think you could have just find and replace the text.
I can email too. You know what I mean? Well, privileged information.
You know,
it's really easy to change a character's name in Final Cut.
Yes.
Yeah.
Draft.
When I was reading in the comments section, somebody listed it as, "Oh, how wonderful to see a nostalgia show taking place in the 90s. And I thought, but it wasn't supposed to be the 90s, right? This was, I mean, the nostalgia of Pete and Pete was more like the 60s, right?
I mean, it definitely had
it felt
homages
that way,
to that. Yeah, it was not, it didn't. It felt retro in the 90s.
Yes, that's it.
I understand retro. What you're saying. Yeah.
Here's a hot take. I feel like the first Pete and Pete husband of yours, the first one that was just in the couple episodes.
Dad Prime. You're talking about the initial dad.
50s, 60s feel than Hardy Ross.
Hardy.
Sure. A pipe clenched in his teeth type of thing.
That's right.
Yeah. That screams that sort of era to me, but.
Judy, is it true that he was mean to you and you had him fired? And he said mean and nasty things?
No, that guy? No, I like him.
You Aunt Viv the dad of Pete and Pete? Is that what you did?
I don't remember his name, but he was nice. I liked him.
That's weird because, you know, only 7 years old, I heard the story that you're very upset with him and you got him fired.
Lies.
That's what I heard.
Fake lies. Fake news.
Quit messing. That's not fair. You're hurting the shared memories that we all cherish.
That's right.
Quit hurting those memories.
I was just happy that my TV mom also had red hair. It made me feel more comfortable with you being my fake TV mom.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it helped. Huh. Did not help you?
Yeah, did it, Mikey?
Yeah, you being represented on screen, or it just being more probable that we were your offspring because we both were red hair. Yeah. Both were good.
Solid topics.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, that background. Well, that's the back, your background, huh, Mike?
Whoa. Yeah. For the Patreon subscribers, yes, Mike has switched his video background.
Oh, Liverpool Football Club. His
favorite. He's one of the fans online has nicely donated this to, in as much as one has to pay for a meme. They're free.
Very nice.
If you send that to me, Mike, I can actually put our logos on there. So we're not, promoting Nike and Standard Charter.
Oh, good call, Jeremy.
But let me just, there, I'm always just, protecting the brand, Judy.
That's true. Yeah.
It's just a brand we hate. Yeah. It's just a brand we hate. Don't worry about
there
it.
You
go. that was the COVID-19 before it launched, right?
Right. That was the peak. That was, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was actually Mike making it. That's
me. Yeah, there was me
in the lab.
Mm. Yeah, I was, as you can see, I'm an accomplice.
But you were the first. You were the first guinea pig. You survived it.
Well, I have O positive blood, so yeah, it wouldn't really hurt me too bad.
You're O positive. I'm O positive. I didn't know that.
I'm B minus. I think.
I always got C's to be honest.
No, it doesn't. I'd say it doesn't sound as romantic when you say it that way.
Yeah, Jeremy has C's and there's a word hepatitis before it.
Yeah.
Isn't O positive? Isn't that the universal blood?
Negative.
Negative.
Dan, as the former spokesperson for hepatitis B, didn't you get a free supply of it for the years that you worked on the the awareness campaign?
I'm really 72 years old. And
look great.
Yeah.
I was 45 when we were shooting Pete and Pete, but because I was drinking all that O positive blood that the CDC gave me.
Oh, I meant a free supply of hepatitis B.
Oh. Well, either way, I got them both. And I actually got all three now. I have hepatitis A, B, and C.
What do I hear?
I hear Gambarelli.
My grandchild?
Alfie, are you coming up the stairs?
Oh, no.
You have stairs?
Yeah, I'm at the top of the stairs in this little like computer nook. That's where I'm at right now. And he's getting very good at climbing stairs. And it's
how's the broadband out there in rural Pennsylvania?
I mean, you guys are seeing me pretty good, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Hasn't hurt.
Then they're doing something good over here.
So what town?
Not sure what else.
What town?
They're in Marlboro Township.
Oh. Never heard of it.
It's Montgomery County.
So. Never heard of it.
Okay.
Southern, southeastern PA, or like central eastern PA.
Okay.
I said it was northeastern PA once, and someone was from Scranton, and they scolded me. They said, that's south.
Yeah.
And by the way, I brought up Scrapple the other day. Have you ever had Scrapple?
Oh, yes. Yes, very much so.
What's in Scrapple? I mean, I've heard of it. What's in Scrapple?
You don't want to know. Don't ask. No. You don't ever ask what's in the stuff.
No, I want to know. I haven't cooked dinner yet.
Mechanically separated meat.
Yeah, do you know what spam is?
Yes.
Of course, spam. Okay, well, spam, I think, is more like beef byproducts or, throwaways. And Scrapple is more, I think, pork.
It's pork, but they also make turkey. They also make turkey Scrapple, and it's still very good.
Oh.
They put turkeys into a machine. The machine separates the turkeys from their life and then reassembles them into Scrapple. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah.
And you eat this
for breakfast?
Much like you would eat a regular piece of kielbasa sausage that you like so much.
Or
Michael.
A piece of Canadian bacon in the morning, or bacon.
As our Canadian listeners, who call it just bacon?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I'm just wondering, do they just call it bacon in Canada, or do they call our bacon American bacon?
Oh,
I hadn't thought about that.
Question.
What do you think, Tim?
Let's go to our Canadian.
They call it fatback bacon. That's what I would think they call it.
Fatback bacon.
Okay. that's one way to put it.
Scrapple. I used to have it for breakfast. My mom would serve it for breakfast. And it came in a can then. I mean, and we got it in California. And
Scrapple in a can?
Yeah,
it's the Sacramento way.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd open the can, and then you could slice it off like that, and fry it for breakfast.
Did you ever miss and cut the can instead?
No.
When you were slicing it and just get a little bit of like tin in there with your breakfast?
Come on, Michael. That's what a ridiculous question that is to ask our mother.
I think it's a perfectly reasonable question.
Yeah, I think so, because it could happen.
Yeah. You see, we've all seen those spam cans with the, you know, the pop top on it, right? The pole ring there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me you've never pulled on one of those and the ring came off.
I feel like canned meats is going to make a huge comeback in the upcoming apocalypse.
You can't hear spam without thinking of the Weird Al cover of the REM song Stand. The video of which was directed by Pete and Pete director Catherine Diekman.
You're taking it one way and I'm taking it another way, saying that I can't think about spam without hearing spam, 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 spam.
Are you thinking
of Monty Python?
Yeah, Monty Python.
Makes me think, I go from Monty Python right to Judy Graff.
Some Judy anecdotes.
Oh, love.
Time for some delicious Judy anecdotes.
It just happens. I can't help myself.
It's organic.
I've told
the opposite of spam.
I've told the story aloud probably many times, and maybe even on this podcast. But who cares?
Judy, I'm going to tell you what you did. I want to hear Judy's half of it because I've heard your side of it about 10 times, Danny. Well, I want to hear Judy's story.
I want to talk about Monty Python. Didn't I get you a copy of the Monty Python, the movie? Because I think your parents were worried that there were things in there that you shouldn't see. And I said, no, it's perfectly good. It's the Monty Python. I forget which.
A lot of
the
fun.
The meaning of life.
Yes. And didn't I get you a copy of that because I knew it would be safe to see? I'm pretty sure.
Yes, you did. You did. But I didn't know that you were so good at editing.
No, I didn't have to take anything out.
I believe you did. Judy, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I invited friends over.
Yeah.
I had a sleepover planned.
He charged admission.
I charged admission for sure. It was like, oh, okay, well, look, I got this movie and we couldn't go to Blockbuster to get it. I had to get it from a friend. At the back of a, you know, in the back of a van.
Right.
Somewhere in Jersey.
He considered you a friend, which is great.
Yeah.
And we're going to see some boobs tonight, guys. We are going to see boobs. Because I know this movie has boobs in it. And
he did his research on the movie.
Why I can't see it. Why my parents wouldn't let me get it. Why I had to ask a friend, and I kept doing in quotations, like a friend, because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to rat you out.
Right, right. Now that I think about it, I probably did.
What you did was you cut the scene out with the boobs in it.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think I would have done that.
Yes, well, you disappointed 5 adolescent.
My paying customers went home hungry that night.
Had to go back onto the cable channel to go and look at the blurred lines and colors of the Playboy channel until we got like 20 seconds of like a boob on screen. And that was it.
I'm sorry.
I know, it took a lot of time.
You did the right thing. Don't let his teenage hormones try to sear you.
I mean, not even teenage hormones, preteen hormones. They're way worse.
Yeah.
Oh, more intense.
Way more intense. You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah. Well,
I always felt, like I was your mom and had to protect you too. You know, I mean, I had the side of me that would say, oh, I've been there. I was a kid too. And I know that, parents can be a little fuss budget, whatever. Mm. So yeah, I would have, done something to protect you. As if you would have broken the tab
that stops you from recording on the tape. You would have broken that little piece of plastic right off of there.
Oh, I had probably dual recording machine.
DJ Judy Graff on the decks.
I just like to think about that. And she was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then realizing what she had done and then being like, I have to fix this.
Darn.
What's amazing was she was an early degausser. So instead of rewinding the tape all the way and checking those portions, she just passed a magnet gently over the dub and it magically realigned the iron particles and removed the boobs painlessly. And I think she should patent it, honestly. The Judy Graff degausser.
Wow. There's another business that's gone kaput. A Blockbuster. Didn't we used to go to Blockbuster?
Whoa. Yeah.
I mean, that's vintage now.
You go to Blockbuster. I was a rewinder there. That's what I did for a living. I just pressed rewind all day. Yeah. I was one of the last ones.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember they put all those stickers in that said Be Kind Rewind. They were talking about me.
Yeah. The Danny is, you can tell by the look on his face for those who are looking at the video that Danny is smelling a bullshit story.
Being what hot, are you talking steamy about? Piece of bullshit.
No way. I know way. I Did no you way. Work? I used
you never,
to.
You never worked at Blockbuster.
Okay, I commanded a fleet of those car-shaped rewinders. You know, the little ones that look like cars? Oh, yeah. You put it in, you put it in the trunk, and then you push them down. It goes, I could get about four of those going at once before I passed out.
Wow. I remember that person. Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that person? Yep. Do you remember the degausser next to me? That's how Judy and I met years later. We reacquainted ourselves.
Interesting.
She would just pass videotapes over her head that people found objectionable, and they would the metal plate in her head would erase all the objectionable parts.
Judy, I'm sorry that we asked you to do this.
What's the matter? What's wrong, Dan? I want to know.
I think Judy Judy wants to hear real life stories from Michael C. Marona and vice versa.
Well, I'm
this
good at
this bullshit about a Blockbuster that you worked for.
This Blockbuster bullshit is as real as it gets, man. It's about serious as a heart attack.
Okay.
Apparently there is that one Blockbuster that still exists in Alaska.
And you can like sleep in it. You can sleep in it and stay in it.
Well, that's a different thing, I think. But there as of like a year ago, there was one Blockbuster left in Alaska that still looked like a Blockbuster, that still rented videos.
Okay.
I'm sure it was an independent proprietor, but
they don't have any at blockbuster.com emails.
Probably not. Yeah. Those never existed. Yeah.
I always wondered about Netflix. How was it you'd order a Netflix, a film, and you'd drop it in the mail and it was at your door the next day?
How's that possible?
I don't know.
Changed the game.
You remember that?
Yeah.
First class. Postage, Judy.
There were a lot of us out of work rewinders at the time. So.
They were sitting outside my door and waiting. I mean, and look at them now.
And then guess what? And then they'd have a pad and they'd write down what you rented and then they'd judge you based on it.
Right.
This sounds like extremely nosy librarians, basically. Extremely nosy librarians sort of cataloging the... Their grievances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to. I do have a question for you, Judy. I know that obviously we're going to talk a lot about Pete and Pete, but I did want to ask you about a movie that I watched when I was. It was the year I graduated. It came out. And it's by a director.
It's called Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right.
No, it's a horror movie called The Dark Half.
Yes.
And you got to work with George Romero.
Yes.
I would love, since it's Halloween, he's the king, was king. I would love to know sort of how it was working with him on that set of something that wasn't, it's completely different than Pete and Pete, different than sort of some of the other things. So I don't know if you'd work, have any insight on that.
I didn't have that much contact with him because I was in the opening scene, by the way. I was what they call a surgical nurse. Yep. And I had to pass instruments to, whatever. He was
sponge.
Sponge. Yeah.
Scalpel.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly it. Hmm. And he was just a really nice man.
Awesome.
It's wonderful when you. Not always, obviously, but he was lovely, and he's gone now. Too bad.
Yeah. He what a legacy, though, and what a an incredible. I mean, mm-hmm.
it is said that George Romero passed away in the company of his family while listening to the soundtrack to the 1952 film "The Quiet Man" by John Ford.
Really
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, which is
Who did the music for the quiet?
Fact check. Come on, Jeremy. Do it. Jeremy.
First fact check in a long time.
Yeah. Well,
The Quiet Man. It's only three words, buddy.
Yeah, but it's my memory.
The opposite of me.
Bing Crosby and Victor Young, 1952?
No, it's called The Quiet Man with John Wayne.
Okay. Well, that must be the remake.
A lot of his movies, there's a famous, I loved his music. He was a Russian composer. And he did Red River. I'm thinking he did The Quiet Man. Oh, let me see.
Anyway. Now you do one, Dan. I don't know. That was the one that she did. You have to do your own.
Oh,
what was that? That sounds like. See, that sounds like That sounds like public domain. I don't think that that's actually from a movie soundtrack.
It does say Bing Crosby sings "The Isle of Innisfree" and "Galloway Boy." Victor Young and his orchestra plays "Denver's House," "St. Patrick's Day," "My Mother," "I'll Take You Home Again," "Kathleen," "The Big Fight," and Mary
right.
Kate
but who was the composer, buddy?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was. It was just Victor Young and the orchestra and Bing Crosby. Those two people.
Way to go, Victor.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was Dmitri Tiomkin. He did when I was Red River.
And actually, yeah.
I thought that might be Quiet Man also.
I should have known that from
ironically, that's the name of the hacker who penetrated the Florida voting system this year.
What was his name?
Dmitri Tiomkin. Same guy. Probably his grandkid now. instead of tickling the ivories, he works the keyboard.
Right. Oh.
To go back to The Dark Half for 1 second, I do remember the scene, the scene that you were in the initial scene. You're in the room, you're handing off things, and then all of a sudden they're talking about a twin that has been attached to him.
Right,
and they do a cut or something behind this goo, and there's an eyeball in there that was his twin.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah.
Does your character wear a surgical mask, Judy?
I think I did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I literally just watched the preview again because I wanted to ask you about it.
You know, the nurse's cap or the rubber cap or whatever, the shower cap.
You had a snood? You were wearing a snood?
Yeah.
That was a word that I never knew until the lunch lady episode of Pete and Peter is what I think we called it. Don't Tread on Pete, the Revolutionary War episode when Juliana Hatfield played a lunch lady and she had sort of this crocheted thing on her head. And I had no idea what it was. And then somebody informed me that it was called
a snood. Very popular in the 30s and 40s.
And then somebody took that name and made one
as
of those
was
crazy,
Scrapple.
Crazy.
Yes, Scrapple. It's still popular, I'm sure. I bet you Danny could go down the street where he is now and knock on doors and say,
there's Scrapple everywhere around here.
Show us your snoods is what he would say. Going door to door. Show us, you got any snoods to share?
See, snood just reminds me of a stupid computer game.
You know, I think my mother had a long on and off relationship with Dr. Mario. I think snood was, you know, the next in the gate was like a gateway. It was a gateway drug to snood. And then I'm not sure what she plays now.
Oh, okay. Dr. Mario.
One of those block building, you know, it was like, it was in that half space between Tetris and Infinity.
Oh, okay. Sure. I know about that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Also invented by a Russian.
Oh.
Are we Wow, I like that we've gone from talking about raising money for the PA dams to now Russia. I don't understand. Have we been infiltrated? What's going on here? Well,
Mike's dark half is coming out. He's Russian.
Only
half.
Jeremy can tell for sure.
No,
my IP address is from Moscow.
This resolves in the Atlantic Ocean.
you're Skyping in from the Canary Islands, it seems.
Is somebody Skyping in?
That would be nice. I'm just saying that we're See, we're playing too many games here.
Dan, did you throw a rock at the Canary Islands when you were over in Portugal?
No, it was too far. Too far.
You could probably skip a stone, though.
When I was in the Azores, maybe that was a little closer, which is also part of Portugal. So you're right, I guess. I could have thrown, but I did not. I was too busy taking in the sights.
Living it up as a young lover.
Yeah, honeymoon in the Atlantic version of Hawaii. Except there's no humidity. It's great.
Really?
They export it all to the mainland. It's much more valuable there. They have so much of it there that it's much more valuable elsewhere. It's very cheap on the island.
So where are we going to move to if politics don't go quite our way?
Sounds like New Zealand. I think we're going to have to go to New Zealand.
Can we get there? Will they let us in?
Is everyone all right with that? Well, sure. We just have to display some sort of talent in stop motion filmmaking or CGI. Visual effects of any kind, I think, gets you an extra 10 points on the visa application.
And what about audio effects? I can work with that end of it. Does it have to be
Jeremy
video?
Jeremy, blank the screen. Let's see what Danny can do.
Sorry, I was looking up New Zealand slang words.
I can edit.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, and Judy can edit. Yeah, Judy.
Yep. Yeah, I can edit.
Clearly, Judy can edit.
Well, the last time we talked about it, Judy, which I'll admit it was a while ago, you were making videos for FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And I'm wondering if they haven't, I mean, you're clearly not doing this video from an internment camp, which is everybody thinks of FEMA now. They think of the internment camp. So
fake news. Well, they only just started sending some people out because of COVID. They were trying to keep everybody, they won't put anybody in harm's way.
I figure there's no shortage of fires though. You know what I mean? For you to go survey the damage for.
The silly thing is, and the fires are mostly around here in California, but they've never sent me out on fires. They always bring somebody from the East Coast. I don't understand that. Well, no, I do understand it. They have a thing where once you've worked, your name goes to the bottom of the list. If you're a videographer or a still photographer, name goes to the bottom of the list. And then the next person is the one who gets the gig. And that's because they're trying to be fair about the assignments. But I've never been out on fires. Well, and I could drive to them. I mean, God, they're right across the street practically, But they've only just started sending people out. They're doing a lot of virtual coverage. So as a matter of fact, they had a bunch of us a training on virtual, what they call a virtual deployment. That's what they called it. And it was, could we do our job? Well, I can't. I have to be there. I have to be there to take photographs and video. But they're undergoing a lot of changes, as you could well imagine. Every aspect of the government right now is in flux.
They make you drive your own drone?
I was just going to ask that. Yeah, do you have a drone?
Oh, I have two drones, but at first they wouldn't let us use them. But that goes back like 3.5-4 years ago. They wouldn't because they were nervous if somebody crashed it or something onto private property. Then they said, yeah, but we'll let you use it, but you have to have the pilot's license, whatever, for that. At that point...
flight time, you're going to be instrument rated.
Just about, but then the drones made a big leap. I bought my first drone at that store that in all airports. I forget the name of that.
It was called Drones Are Us.
Yeah, something like that.
Are you talking about a touch of? You're talking about A Touch of Modern, where they have the refrigerator inside the coffee table.
No,
that's a sharper image, dude.
Yes, that's it. Sharper image.
Get out of here. Drone. Get out of here.
For like $450.
I thought it was a massage chair. I didn't know it could fly. I really thought it was a massage chair. It was extremely light and small. It was a massage chair for a cat.
But it's funny you bring that up. Because
the $450 drone was replaced by $1,000 drones, and then $2,000 drones, and $5,000 drones.
We call that droneflation when the value like that ascends so quickly, and then people find themselves left behind if they're in an all cash position. The drones
pay for it. You know, that's not their thing. And I stopped exploring that avenue and just went back to, you know, straight video and still photography, because also I'd have to drag that stuff with me every time I went out. I had a limit as to how much I could check on a plane. So I ended up with no clothes and a lot of equipment.
that in itself, you know, could be a novel form of fundraising and drone photography. Yeah, and drone photography. Go ahead. For the listeners, Jeremy is brandishing.
I just got a new drone. It's a 2K drone. It's very nice.
Wow.
I'm going to use it for maybe some new man boob stuff. Who knows?
Jeremy, you know it's 2020, group. Right? A 2K drone is way behind the times.
I know, but the 4K was a little too expensive. But
do you have the pilot's license or whatever it's called?
Give us some specs, buddy. Let's get some specs.
It's sort of like you can't really do it in New York City at all. It's illegal. But so if I go out of town, I can fly it. But it does have GPS and all that stuff. It'll follow you and come home to you. And
it sounds like getting a really nice bike rack for a bike and then not having a car or something like that.
That's true. That's somewhat true.
I go to record stores and I buy a whole bunch of records. But I don't have a record player.
Have a record player.
But my point is, drones have gotten cheaper and smaller. So, you know,
have they?
Yes. So if
that's, see, we call that,
willing to, basically, Judy, he's willing to sell it to you. He realized
he couldn't fly it
in his own home. He's like, I got to get rid of this thing. So
I'm going to try it though. I might go to the roof and just try it.
It's
see what happens.
It's a 2K drone, but Jeremy's willing to part with it for 1.8 at this point.
1.8K. No, this thing, these are like, this was new. It was $250. And then I got it for $100.
Really?
Yeah.
I paid $400 for my first, but that was a fire.
Why were you guys looking on Drones List is my question. You should have gone to Drones R Us.
Drones R Us. that unfortunately has also went out of business with toys.
Yes.
With the Drones R Us. But
I have more little cameras than anybody I know. I've got all these little, you know, 1-inch square things to pick up additional video, you know, B-roll stuff or whatever.
GoPros or whatever, yeah.
Oh, GoPro too. Yeah.
And do you ever think about using them to go undercover, Judy? Like you could use them as a hidden camera.
Oh well, sure. Actually, the reason I got the first little tiny one, you know how? Have you ever seen them?
I've seen a button cam.
Is it because you like watching people pee in public toilets?
No.
Oh, okay. Just asking.
Well, I do, but that's got nothing to do with why I got the camera.
That's right. No, because in my building here in West Hollywood, somebody got into the garage, which is locked or supposed to be. And once they keyed a bunch of cars, and then another time they went through my car and pulled out some stuff. And it made me so mad that I thought I'm going to arm this place with those little tiny cameras. Only thing is,
The camera's got a mind of their own, and now they observe me instead.
Yeah.
What was the catch, Judy?
Oh, well, I was hoping to find out who was doing this nonsense in the garage, but it would never go off. I mean, the motion activated, because it was downstairs and it was too far away from the modem. Well, that would be to send it back, but I mean, it just wouldn't go off.
Did we ever catch the culprit? Yeah.
Well, we think we did. We think it was somebody internally who is in the process as I speak in moving out. We think there was some sort of,
bad anger blood
going on.
That's always the way. It reminds me of an episode of the A-Team where Face disguises and what? What? Yes, I'm going to bring it back to the A-Team. Face assumes the identity of Mr. Tony, an interior designer who lives in the building. And at one point in the episode, they dismantle the elevator to to armor up their A-team van for an armored assault. And Mr. Tony assures the people who live, the nice ladies who live in the building.
Good old armored assault.
Did somebody say armored assault? Because Alfie wants it.
Alfie is.
Yeah, he sounds like it.
And my building is really old. It was built in 1929. And that through the years, there's been all kinds of Errol Flynn supposedly lived here. Please don't tell me you don't know who Errol Flynn
is. No, that was Jeremy's first roommate when he came out to Hollywood.
That was him. Good old Errol, I called him.
Yeah, he called them swinging Errol because they were always, you know, swinging on vines back and forth. They want to take the street, so they just went between telephone poles.
I feel like Errol's a name you just don't. That's not on any baby name lists anymore.
No,
you know what I mean. I mean, there's Errol Morris.
I remember consulting
Errol
some.
There's Errol Garner, one of the most famous. Jazz musicians.
Or Cedric. I like the name Cedric. You don't hear that anymore either.
There you go.
Cedric. Well, once the entertainer died, that was the end of Cedric.
Oh, yeah.
He's not dead.
Oh, you're right. He's not dead.
What are you talking about? You're talking about.
Yeah, Cedric the entertainer.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. He's not dead.
I made both of you think about it for a second.
I did not have to think about it for a second. I have a Google alert set just in case. So it would have popped up.
Are you one of the people that writes celebrity?
I pre-write celebrity obituaries. I do, but
and you have
what
them
I
stashed,
do,
and when they happen, you send them off to all the different places and be like, "I can give this to you first."
What I do is because I pre-write them, I tend to take a lot of liberties. So in my case, Cedric the Entertainer's comments upon how he was the inspiration for The Entertainer, which is the theme song from The Sting.
Oh. I also heard that Cedric, the song The Entertainer by Billy Joel was written about Cedric.
Oh.
Was that possible?
I am the entertainer and I'm positive.
Judy, we couldn't get through this episode without a few Billy Joel mentions, so we might as well get them all.
What is your stance on Billy Joel?
Well, wait a minute, I have something sick to tell you that I did with a friend of mine, speaking of, you know, celebrity dying.
As long as it's relevant.
Well, we're talking about dead celebrities, right? we used to, there was a game we used to play. Who could be the first one to inform everybody else about, guess who died? And it had to be somebody big, you know? And pretty soon it was like, you know, back and forth. And we thought, guess who died? Then we decided, let's make a list so that what we can do is just go down the list and say, number 13 died, number 41 died. Only the thing was, we made a list of about 50 people, well-known celebrities. And by the way, we chose people who probably were kind of close to that time of life.
Sure, you're hedging your bets.
Yeah, and nobody died. And it was like month after month after month. And then we decided, you know what? This is keeping them alive. This is what's going on. We started telling our friends, and they said, well, we want to be on the death list, because that's what we call
them. Just in case.
Yeah. I'm telling you, nobody died for months. And these were all people who had been in and out of the hospital, and they were 90 years old, but, you know, still famous.
And I credit it all to Judy's list.
That's right. The death list that we had.
Well that's an
better than vitamins.
Now.
Yeah. Hate is better than vitamins.
I think it was Betty Davis was the first one to go off the list.
Oh, she'll be here long.
Oh, but she
long
had
after
it coming.
We will.
She had it coming. And they saved her eyes, it turns out, in a song.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, Betty Davis.
Yeah, I know.
We're talking Betty White.
You know, that just makes me think. That just makes me think of Jerry Orbach, because he donated his eyes.
He did?
He donated his eyes to research just to somebody else to see. But unfortunately, you see everything as a musical after that, whoever has Jerry Orbach's eyes. They just assume.
Well, I did write a very failed pilot in one of my UCB classes called Law and Order Eyes. And it was whoever got Jerry Orbach's eyes also got his power for exploring law and order. And it was received about as well as it was received on this podcast.
Yeah.
Nobody liked it.
That must have been sketch writing 101.
I went with it. Yes.
Law and Order Eyes.
I went with it, you know.
I thought it could work. Yeah. But
right.
We could talk about Jerry Orbach all day.
Yeah. I saw my first Broadway play that I saw. He was in it. I'm trying to remember the name.
Was it I Remember Mama?
No.
Mm-mm. Was it The Fantastics?
No.
Was it? That's the only two I can think of.
Yeah. No.
Oh, it was. It was. I know what it was. Tippin.
Pippin?
It was Tippin.
No.
Scuba Duba?
Nope.
Stop making stuff. Stop making stuff up. That was not Scuba Duba was not a musical until far after he passed away.
Scuba Duba.
Let's see. I'm looking
at his theater credits. It was Showboat.
42nd Street. Promises. These are
this is our second fact check in as many minutes.
Promises.
We've hit it. We've hit it after two.
Nice.
That's dare he?
Promises. Oh, I thought he was fabulous.
He still is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got just piercing vision.
Yeah. Wherever he is now.
I think it would be better if whoever got his eyes got superpowers, Jeremy.
Well, that's part of it. The EYES had periods after each one. So that spelled out there was going to be a whole
list. I'm going to give you time to come up with your acronym right now while Danny and I talk about something unrelated, entirely unrelated.
What kind of acronym would that be?
A long one.
Not a racy one, but a complicated one.
Every
enter your eye system. I don't know. It didn't get a lot of rave reviews for a reason.
It sounds like it's still in the treatment form and not an actual script.
Yes, very much so.
We call that scriptflation, where you tend to build it up and there's nothing there once you open it up.
You may have talked about this in the special, Judy, but what was your auditioning process like for something like Pete?
I was thinking about that while I was listening to the others talk. I don't remember much about it at all, to tell you the truth. That's really strange. I thought, God, I don't remember.
Where did Pete and Pete come in your career arc? Like, for Allie, she expressed that it was right there at the beginning when she was still writing her resume on loose leaf paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd been doing a lot of commercials. Oh, I did hundreds of them. And by the way, that's not an exaggeration. In those days, you could do that many because, Madison Avenue was all about, that's what they did. They made commercials. They thought if they weren't on TV, they didn't exist.
They hadn't yet passed the Commercial Limitation Act of 1999. And so we were free to do as many commercials as we wanted each year. There was not a quota system as it later.
We know that. We know that based on the 80s, the 80s and early 90s when you and I were doing tons of commercials.
I'm trying to think of sort of like, commercial logic from those days. And the only thing I can come up with is if you had a product, it made your life better.
Yes. Right. Yeah. You know why? It was called, hold on, get ready, problem, solution, relief. That's what they called
it. Solution,
and that
relief.
Changed to there's got to be a better way.
Yeah. Well,
you're talking about, Jeremy's talking about the genre of as seen on TV commercials, which is where you present someone doing an ordinary task in a really shitty way in black and white. And then all of a sudden this gizmo that you got is going to is going to fix it.
Yeah.
In Jeremy's case, it's a mocha maker.
That's right.
Mocha. I just finished mine.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, I just threw it in the garbage can.
I didn't know it was that bad. You need a mocha maker.
No, I finished it. No, but in those days you could do so many commercials, and if they ran network, holy crap. Mm. But then I was doing industrials, also, and then I did a couple of those films. I did Frankenhooker. Did you ever see Frankenhooker?
Yes.
I would like to see Frank.
Yeah, we might do a special Patreon viewing. Maybe you'd want to sit in and talk it or something. Yeah, that would be amazing.
G just saw Frank and Weenie.
Oh, yeah?
It's a really cute story. It's a great one. It's a great story. The cute little dog.
Yeah, Frank and Weenie. Tim Burton.
But yeah, Frank and Hooker is a bit different and not a kid's thing, I don't believe.
No.
But there are weenies also in Frank and Hooker.
Yes, they saved some of the weenies from Frank and Weenie and then reused them for Frank and Hooker, what you're saying?
Yeah. But the other way around.
No, I'm pretty sure the chronology is the other way. What was your audition process like for that? Yes, Frank and Hooker.
It wasn't a whole lot because his name was Frank Hennenlotter. He was the director.
Hey, we saw you in a commercial.
You did?
No, I'm saying this is what the director said.
Yeah. And Basket Case 2.
But
in both of them.
Basket Case 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. I was a reporter in both of them. So I just had to come in and audition by reporting. And now, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the lawnmower is going to, you know, you know, whatever. Because he gets chewed up. In Basket Case 2, I think the lawnmower chews the guy up.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you don't get killed. You survived.
No, I survived. Okay. Yeah.
No.
And you also survived being a nurse in the Romero flick.
Yes, I did. I had virtually nothing to do but hand over the sponges and, you know, whatever. And,
don't forget the eyeball.
Yeah, the eye. Ooh, yeah. And, you know, like three lines. And I think one of them was cut.
It turns out that was Jerry Orbach being operated on.
Oh, we've come full circle. Woo! Yeah,
we could recut that into the Law and Order Eyes to make a little teaser.
Judy, when you were doing all those commercials, did you have like, did you go from one to another, like weird genre moves? Like, hey, I'm doing a BK commercial, and now I'm doing a Tylex commercial, like.
Well, that's a matter of necessity. If you have a conflict, you couldn't just do a bunch of commercials of the same genre.
And I used to sometimes my nightmare would be I'd wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, did I just shoot a conflict? Oh, do I have two toothpaste commercials? Oh my God, because they'd sue you if you did that.
That's a nice nice problem to have. Luckily, I never did.
But shouldn't your manager or agent figure that out for you?
I freelanced as well as a lot of people do. So if you freelance, you got much more work if you freelance because you were with like, you know, three or four agents and whoever got you that audition is the one who would. So they didn't always know what you had done.
Gotcha. You
know? I'm supposed to keep track of all my sued for anything like that?
My wheeling and dealing.
Mm. Yeah, I do know somebody who did get sued. But what they did, how they compromised it was two toothpastes, as a matter of fact. And what they did was they agreed to put the toothpaste commercial on a shelf until the other one finished running. And then they didn't pay her like, there was some, you know, like fine of $1,000 or something. Yeah.
That's big money.
I guess that's okay.
But they held back running the commercial because they didn't want to have to reshoot it. And it was one of those things. She didn't realize it until the end of the day. And then she goes, oh my God, I have a conflict. You know,
it was back in the day, you were supposed to keep track. Of your own conflicts.
Yeah, you had to. And by the way, in those days, a long time ago, I used to go on as many as 10 auditions a day. It was as good. It was an acting gig because you'd go from one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And I used to get hire a taxi service sometimes because
this is the 80s and you're banging around Manhattan.
Yeah.
Or not out there in L.A.
Well, it seems like in L.A. But then, yeah, but then I moved to New York because there was a whole lot more to do. But
come on, Dan. Give me some bass.
I'd have to say, oh, wait a minute. How's this going to run? Oh, this is a test commercial. No, let's cut that one. I won't go on that because I don't have time. Or, oh, this is a regional commercial. No.
Doing triage for your auditions in real time. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a totally different time, though. Like I said, Madison Avenue. Well, the show about Madison Avenue, you know.
Mad Men?
No, I never watched Mad Men because it was far too much cigarette smoking.
Oh, there was. And by the way, Mad Men is so accurate to the time, you know.
They did smoke that much, didn't they? I thought so.
They did.
They drank a lot.
I remember they even had an audition scene where it was at Gray Advertising. They didn't say it was a Gray Advertising, but we all knew it when we saw it because at Gray Advertising, you'd have to walk down a hallway.
G-R-E-Y,
Gray.
Yeah.
Gray Advertising was right across the street from Smith & Wolensky.
Yes.
Talking about 777 Third Avenue. That's
it. 777 Third Avenue. Right.
And
you'd walk down this hallway and there'd be all these actors sitting there in chairs in the hallway. And so when they did that, like, oh, Oh, that's accurate. I know that.
Hmm. That's where I booked a chicken nuggets commercial from Gray Advertising. Mm-hmm.
It was a crazy time. We used to just walk up to audition and write our freaking social security numbers out on a piece of paper for everybody to see.
Yes, we would.
That's right.
That was how you identified yourself.
That was amazing.
God forbid anybody had a camera back then. They could have applied for Social Security for all of us.
Right.
Well, sorry, Mr. Morona, you didn't make anything because you're receiving disability in Branson, Missouri.
Now we get to write available upon request.
Yes.
Well, I remember writing that on my resume about my conflicts. My conflicts were available upon request, but I did a couple of fast food commercials, but I never, you know, too many that happened at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we do a live show called Nostalgia Personified where we show some of their old commercials and then we talk about them. So next time we're in California, you have to come on and we'll show some of your commercials and we'll talk about them.
It was such a hassle then to get a copy of the commercial because you'd have to write to the producer, if you could remember his name, at the agency. Then they'd have to go and get permission to be able to...
Writing in the typewriter, typing out a letter, walking to the mailbox, licking a stamp. Licking a stamp, putting it in the mail.
And it looks like this, Michael C.
What is that?
Yep.
Is that one of my commercials?
A beta copy.
Oh, it's a... nothing but alpha here.
Yeah,
but I have a reel of about probably 15 commercials. But I couldn't keep up with trying to get copies of them all. But you know what? If you go on YouTube and you just keep watching the various ones, you just keep going because they have all these commercials on there.
You know, the algorithm will find you.
Yeah, and I found a bunch of them on there. So
this actually inside had a note that says, apparently you asked for Halloween Eat, Farewell My Little Viking Part 1 and 2. So this is just them exporting it for you on
YouTube. You talk about dubs on demand or something like that.
It's from Voltage Video, 501 Broadway.
That's right, Voltage Video. That's
never heard of them. How come you didn't keep it in-house with Tamborelli Video?
I don't know. You should have. I should have. But Tamborelli Video was a rental house.
Yeah.
By the way,
not in competition.
That's my cousins.
It wasn't in competition
they
with.
They sold the business a few years ago.
To who?
I don't know, but I know that. Hopefully, another Italian. Jeremy got a couple like Pelican cases that say Tamborelli Video on it.
Yeah.
And it makes me upset. It makes me feel like it's mine because it's got my last name on it.
Nope. It's not how the world works.
I think we are all capable of coming up with a great idea for some sort of movie for, done this way,
Yeah. Jerry Orbach's eyes are implanted into a crime-fighting mutant.
No.
Right.
No?
I love it. I can't wait.
No? You can't.
I'm into it. I'm ready to shoot. I got a drone.
Judy's
got drones.
All God's children got drones.
First shot is an eye, right on the eyes. Drones out, huge wide. I can see it.
Speaking of huge wide, go ahead, Jeremy.
Speaking of, yes. Well, we're running short on time, but I did want to tell everybody that Judy, if you wouldn't mind, just afterwards, 10 minutes, staying behind, and we'll do a quick shot, quick fire.
Sure.
10 questions for you, sort of about Pete and Pete. For our Patreon subscribers, if you would like to get in on the fun, patreon.com/Danny and Mike with the N spelled out.
With the N spelled out.
And then I guess beforehand, Judy, if you have plugs that you would like to, anything you want to plug? I know we just did the...
I don't know that this is a plug, but when we were in Portland, this gal painted this.
That's very cool.
I bought it in the gallery. And this was from it was called The Call. Remember this guy's? And apparently he was a boyfriend in an earlier life.
One of your best outfits on the show.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And he was now a lineman.
He had a crush on you.
Yes, exactly. And he was a lineman. Anyway, I just thought it was so sweet.
Interesting.
And her name is Ann Shelley. And I just thought that was so cool. I mean, there are these dedicated Pete and Pete fans, as I told you, the gal who makes the enamel pins. Sheffy, that's it. Anna Sheffy. Wow. Anyway, I just think it's great that what the Pete and Pete fans will do sometimes. It just amazes me, how much. The best compliment I ever had was, I think it was in Portland, But one of the fans said to me, you know, I always wished you were my mom. You were my idea of what I'd like for a mom. And I thought, oh, that was touching. You know, that was really touching.
Someone who could deflect bullets without a helmet.
Right, exactly.
As a third party who didn't have anything to do with Pete and Pete, I can attest to that as far as like the fans and how incredible they are still 20 whatever years later.
Yes.
And how much they really took to heart the work that you guys did. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Nobody ever told me they wanted me to be their mom.
Well, I'm sure they asked to be your brother though. Call you Pete or something. I don't know.
No. No, you think so, but no.
Judy, you have any socials you want to put out there or anything? Twitters or Instagrams or Facebooks or anything?
No, okay. Nothing right now that I can think of.
Cool.
But you could look for her in several commercials coming up.
And you know what?
Oh, I wish.
Go watch The Dark Half. Great Halloween movie.
The Dark Half. George Romero.
Yeah, one of his later films.
Check out Frankenhooker.
Frankenhooker, Basket Case 2.
Yeah. I think we should definitely watch one of those together on Patreon. I'm just putting it out there. I think that would be hilarious. Also, we are on the Last Podcast Network. Check them out, lastpodcastnetwork.com, for all their great shows. What else?
If you'd like to know when Jeremy actually graduated from high school or have any questions for us, call us at 347-470-81.
And it's the same year as The Dark Half came out, so there you go. What was a hint? What were you going to say, Dan?
I was just going to say that there's going to be a new episode of The Story Must Be Told that I did.
Ooh, very nice.
It's a plug for the network. Yes.
Yeah. Very nice.
We call that a network plug. They were very big in the 80s.
I'm not sure what your 80s. Your 80s music for your montage is interesting. I'm just curious.
That's a word that's like a filler word that you use when you can't think of a good or a bad word. So what do you really feel?
To say montage?
No, to say interesting. Yeah, no. Montage is a French word. We know what it means. Okay.
Do you?
Yeah, we know.
Give us a shout on our socials. Danny's at D Tamborelli on the Twits. At Danny Tamborelli on the Instagram. Mike is at Michael C. Marone on the Twitter. I'm at Remy Balin on most things, at Jeremy Balin on the Instagram.
And you can check Judy at turkeyscrapple.net.
pinchaloaf.net.
Yeah,
pinchaloaf for the Patreon. Stay tuned for Patreon pinchaloaf.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Judy, you're an absolute delight. Yeah, Judy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys. Oh, it was fun seeing you all, as a matter of fact.
We have to do it more often.
Two shows in one week.
Sunday was really fun, and I'm glad that we can, a couple of days later, do a little more.
Yeah.
You know, specific chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We call that chatflation, where the chats kind of get bigger.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
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 The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Baylor. This podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with Yan spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/theadventuresofdannyandmike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.